Listen, I just want to say before we start, thank all of you so much for being so welcoming, and I love being down here. I hoped the last time that I'd be down here again, and here I am, so I'm happy about it. Today's lesson, our text is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, and this is where we're going to be for most of this lesson. So you can kind of mark that there and always come back to that. So let's go ahead and read that. Jesus speaking, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So these are certainly cheering and comforting words from our Savior here. Now this promise by Jesus is a gracious promise for us right here in this present life. We know, we talked about in class some, this life, it's a journey full of problems. It can be full of problems and tribulations, and it's going to be for all of us to some degree. We have great blessings. And I always reinforce that, both sides, because you don't want to get too down. Every day we get up is given to us by God. But when things do get tough, we have a helper. We have a helper that we can call on. We have the Lord. Now, this is illustrated in the example of Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, we read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." So he went out not knowing where he went, but he knew with whom he went. So what happens in your life if the doctor comes to you and he shakes his head? There's nothing can be done. What if someone deserts you? What if someone passes away? Well, God is still with you in those times. And this is illustrated also in the life of Jesus. In John 16, verse 32, Jesus speaking, we'll read verses 32 and 33 of John 16. "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world already. Now, God doesn't promise to cut out all the thorns and give us only roses. But he does assure us that he will provide for us and that he will protect us. He will be with us every step of the way, all throughout our lives. We know this from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, and Psalm chapter 55, verse 22. The Bible tells us this. But in view of this, some questions might arise in the hearts of many Christians today. I'm just going to cover this briefly. It could be, why am I having so many financial issues, right? That's a problem today. It could be, why is my life filled with turmoil and unhappiness? Or why is my health failing? Why is someone I love's health failing? Why are there so many hardships, so many difficulties in my life? And it's normal to wonder things like this from time to time. But we need to remember, we have to do our part. Okay? And that's the main part of this lesson. We need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. Now, I'm not going to get into Greek because, listen, I'm not a Greek expert either, okay? But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, there's something there called a present imperative. And that means it issues a command that we should always do something or we should go on doing something. So, for example, always shut the door behind you. That's an example of a sentence using one of these. So in verses 7 and 8 there, Jesus is saying, go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking, or continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. So persistence is stressed. Jesus is stressing persistence, perseverance. So we should continue to ask, to plead. We should continue to petition God for the needs of our lives. And you may have one right now in your life. And you need to think about this. This is very good news, and we need to think about this in our daily lives. So these verses, of course, presuppose a belief in a personal God, one that can grant these wishes. But it also presupposes a belief that out of the millions of people in the world today, the millions of people, God cares about me. God cares about my problems. They may be little, they may be big, but He cares about my problems. He's my own personal Father, and He loves me, and He cares for me. The same for you. He is your personal Father who loves and cares for you. And He wants you to ask Him for help. Now, we also need to remember to continue to seek. This means asking, yeah, like we just talked about, but also acting, action. And that involves taking necessary action to obtain one's wants or desires or needs. So, for example, we may pray for our daily bread. We'll ask, but we also need to labor to attain it. We need to seek. We pray that we might get well from our sickness, but we also seek out treatment that might help us. I was talking about that with John. You pray for something, but then you got to take that action, don't you? That's important. Now, we pray for knowledge of God's Word, but then what do we have to do to achieve that? We have to study, right? We have to examine the Scriptures. We're seeking. And finally, we need to continue to knock. So this is perseverance. So now we have asking plus acting plus persevering. And this involves a continual knocking at the palace door of the King, Jesus, our Savior. Calling upon Jesus, praying. Now suppose one's trying to find a certain address, okay? First, he's asking for the address. Next, he's out seeking the address. And then he's knocking on the door. So that's the order. That's the godly order that we need to be seeking here. And the Lord is emphasizing the same diligence in our prayers. We need to do that same thing. Follow that process. Jesus stressed persistence and perseverance in his parables. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8 there. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." And while you're there, notice down there in verse 9 in Luke 11, Jesus followed with the same words, didn't he? Ask, seek, knock. Now, we need to remember, God's going to always do His part in this equation. And the promise is fulfilled when the command's obeyed. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You're going to ask, that's your part. Then it's going to be given, that's God's part. You're going to seek, that's your part. And you'll find, that's God's part, He's going to deliver that part. You're going to knock, that's your part. And it's going to be open. That's God's part. He's going to do that for you. In verse 8, rather, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it is opened. And everyone who asks receives. So all of those who obey this command are going to receive. Not a single one is going to be ignored or left out. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 here. Luke 18, 1 through 5. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now this is the parable of the unjust judge. And Jesus here stresses persistence. But he added in verse 7 there, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? In other words, if an unjust judge would avenge a widow who he doesn't even care about because of her persistence, surely God would avenge his own elect who he loves, he cares for, he has called because of their persistence. So persistence works with God. The fact that God answers the prayers of his people is something that we see throughout the Bible. It's fundamental. John 16, 23 tells us that, and James 5, verse 16, which I'm going to read here, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to be persistent. We need to follow this order. Now, back to our text, let's consider the fatherhood of God. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Generally speaking, fathers give their children good things. And Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and that's certainly true with their relationship to God the Father. Now some erring human fathers, they don't give their children good things, but that is an exception. Romans 1:28 tells us that people can be given over to a debased mind. 2 Timothy 3:3 tells us that men can become unloving. But the natural order is for fathers to give their children good things. There can be imperfect earthly mothers and fathers. I mean, that's for sure. And really, they all are to some degree, right? But God is our perfect Father. And earthly fathers, they sometimes make mistakes. They don't know what to do in a certain situation. They don't know what to give their children. But God always knows what's best. He never gives us evil. He never leads us astray. God would never give his children evil things. Although some people do think that sometimes when something bad happens to them, and that's an error. You know, that's a whole sermon unto itself. But suffice to say that it's because of men's free will, their sin, and because of Satan that bad things happen. It's not because of God. The fatherhood of God is taught in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Jesus says, if you as an imperfect father give good things to your son, then God, being perfect, will be able to give you so much more, the right things. But remember, we have to be children of God in order to receive this blessing. Romans 8, verses 32 and 33 tells us that. We have to be faithful. We talked about that this morning in class. Live faithfully. That's one of the toughest parts of the plan of salvation, because once you get all that done, what do you have to do? You have to keep going. You have to be persistent. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So this is very important. We need to remember this. God will help us if we live faithfully, and if we keep his commandments. And consider the phrase, how much more there, in verse 11. Jesus is showing what the God whom we are praying to is like. He genuinely cares. He abundantly provides. Every day we get up, we see it. All the things we have, food, shelter, family, And this is not a grudging God that we have to squeeze every gift out of, is it? He gives it to us every day. And it is wonderful, all the things that we have. Just to be here today is such a blessing. And we see sick people that can't be here. Some of our sick. It's such a blessing to be here, to have the health. Now, God even had kind thoughts of the erring Jews. You know, we read a lot of wrathful stuff in the Old Testament, but in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, he speaks of his care even for them. He wanted them to return. He wanted them to do right. And God is more than ready to bless those who seek him today with all their hearts. And God will give good things to us as well today. And we need to be praying as a congregation for good things for the congregation, things that can expand it, things that can make it better, because God can deliver that. But God will not give us everything we ask. He's not going to give us anything that's bad for us. You might be able to get some of those things, but it's not God who's delivering them to you. It may be Satan. And so we need to be careful with that. We need to make sure that we're following what God wants for us. And when we ask, we want the things that are good. I'm going to give you a little story here. This is from 1990. I don't know, some of you may have heard it before, but this is very interesting. It says, Bill Curry of South Boston worked most of his life as a cafeteria cook for the Merritt Food Company on a modest income by which he managed to provide for his wife, son, and daughter. When Bill Curry won the state lottery, $3.6 million, his first thought was to buy a Dalmatian puppy for the youngsters. That was the extent of the celebration, because when the parasites converged, the lawyers, investment advisors, accountants, and financial analysts, he was overwhelmed by them and by people wanting handouts for all manner of charities. He returned to his job in the cafeteria, but even there, financial advisors were everywhere. His nearest relative says there's no doubt about it, in the weeks since he won the lottery, it was not the money that caused his stress, but it was all of those people who wanted to deal themselves in. Bill Curry died of a heart attack at age 37. And this is from Associated Press. This is a real story. Now, in light of that, let's consider how wise that humble prayer in Proverbs, it's Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, is. It says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." So the Bible as a whole shows us that the good things in life are the godly things in life. And I think that's what we need to remember. Sometimes we want this or that, and we know that may not be the best thing for us. But we need to think about biblically, what are the godly things? In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, we learn, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." In Galatians 5:22, we learn, "He has given us the true spiritual fruit that flows from Him." And back to the last part of verse 11 there, the statement, "to those who ask Him." So the Father loves His children. He cares for them. But He wants them, He wants us, to ask Him for the things we need. It's very important. Proverbs 15, verse 8, Psalm 86, verse 5 tells us this. And His commands reveal what He wants from us. Romans 12, 12, He wants us to be hopeful. He wants us to be patient in tribulation. He wants us to continue steadfastly in prayer. And you can see how all this goes together. The Bible always goes together perfect. Whether Paul's speaking, whether Christ is speaking, it goes together perfectly. So let us strive to do our part. To continue to ask, seek, knock. Jesus said, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." And he also said, "And how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now this is the promise of what our loving, caring Heavenly Father will do for us when we pray. And we've talked about prayer a couple of the times that I've been here, how powerful it is. The creator of the universe is at your fingertips. You can pray to him at any time as a Christian. Let's make sure to take advantage of this great blessing. But to take advantage of that great blessing, we talked about some other stuff this morning. You have to be in the right relationship with Christ. And that means you have to follow the plan of salvation. You need to hear Romans 10, verse 17. You need to believe, Hebrews 11, verse 6. You need to repent, Luke 13, 3. You need to confess, Matthew 10, 32. You need to be baptized, Mark 16, 16, Acts 2, 38. And you need to be faithful, Revelation 2, verse 10. If you have need of the prayers of this congregation, if you have need of baptism, don't wait. You never know when you're going to have another day. God blesses us every day, but you never know when that time will be up. So if you need the prayers, if you need baptism, come down here to the front row. We'll help you in any way that we can, as together we stand and sing.